Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Amen. You may be seated. The gospel lessons all around the Easter season, especially the day of Easter itself, they present to us disciples of Christ that sometimes come off as confused, not really understanding what had taken place. The disciples of Christ, after hearing Mary Magdalene's proclamation that the risen Lord, at the end of today's gospel lesson, those same disciples are found later in that day, on that first Sunday, locked away in an upper room out of fear of the Jews. Peter and John had seen the empty tomb, and it says that even they believed, but their fears still remained. But more on that next Sunday. That is the gospel lesson for the second Sunday of Easter. And wouldn't it be nice to have everyone that is going to be here today here again next Sunday? That Easter itself is more than a day, it is an entire season of the church year. One which is filled with great and glorious news and teaching of our risen Lord Jesus. Maybe it's time to get back for you and your household to weekly attendance, or maybe just try it out. Because hearing God's word is good for your soul. We are certainly no strangers to fear. This week could be referred to, I think, as the 54th Sunday after coronavirus. But thanks be to God, it isn't. We've seen what fear does. Fear amongst pagans and Christians. Fear amongst all age groups. Fear amongst those who are given to govern. Fear, fear, and more fear. Ultimately, what was the reason? Death. Death was the reason for all the fear. Because people are afraid of death, especially from some unknown thing at an untimely time. Because for most of us, death had become sanitized, removed from right in front of us to remote, secluded places. But this last year, death came back in a fury. Either in reality, or certainly in its promotion amongst every person on this planet. And this death and promotion of it brought back fear. This is why Easter is perfect this year. Death, it's still here. In fact, should our Lord's return tarry, death will come to each and every one of us. Maybe even by some disease that hasn't even been named yet. But death will not be forever. Our epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians today speaks of this, along with our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah. They speak because of what our gospel lesson today proclaims, that Jesus has been raised from the dead, the anointed one of God, has suffered and died and lives still today, that he is the first fruits from the dead, that the first man, our first father, Adam welcomed death and cast its shadow over all of his descendants, indeed all of creation. But now Christ lives, who once was dead, but now has overcome death. And the fruit of his work is that death will have to give up more and more, most especially on the last day. Which is what the prophet Isaiah teaches us this morning. He says, on the mountain of the Lord. The mountain of the Lord is Isaiah's language for the church. Holy Zion, this joyful feast language is about the last day, which the church takes part in even just a little bit, even now. For our Lord is the first fruits. That there is more defeating of death yet to come. That the middle and last fruits are coming. And Isaiah saw it. His language is joyful, it's playful, it's poetically musical. He's rejoicing and is glad in what his Lord Jesus would do, and as we see it, has done. That the church is gathered together as all peoples. That the world around us, our society especially, loves to create divisions, set people against one another. But Christ and his church is for all people. Just as her Lord died and rose for all peoples, now the church is for all peoples as well. The feast here is described in the richest of terms of the best food, the best drink, God and his church. The celebration is grand, and frankly, looking forward to that is one of the reasons that the church musters joy even in her harder times. That this joy of joys is coming. That the feast has been prepared. And that we receive glimpses now, even today, in the words of sacred scripture, in the songs and music of the church, and of course, in the feast of our Lord's body and blood. The most joyous thing of all for all peoples comes next. That at the last, Isaiah tells us, that God will swallow up among the church, that is among the believers in Christ. He will swallow up the covering that has been cast over all peoples, the veil over all nations. That death will be swallowed up forever. That at the last, the first fruit of the dead, that is Jesus, he who has won salvation for all and whose own are those who hear and know his voice, Jesus will swallow up death forever. That the covering that casts a shadow at each birthday and that reminder that comes from every obituary you see or prognosis you hear or symptom of some sickness you get, that covering will be gone forever. The veil which blinds our eyes like the fears of death that motivates so much from even the disciples of our Lord until the latest news we hear about some variant or effectiveness of this or that, that veil is removed and taken away forever. That at the last, death will be shown for how toothless and how powerless it has become since our Lord Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Death could not keep him. The first fruit, the risen Lord Jesus, is our clue today of where death actually stands, or where it limply pretends to have standing while it awaits the day when Christ will remove it for good. By a simple command of his voice. Isaiah tells us that he will wipe away all tears from all faces. That is the sadnesses that sin and death bring, that is the effects of death and the aftermath of death will also be wiped away. Like a loving parent caring for a child, shall our God not only remove what causes grief, death itself, but he will wipe away our griefs and our sadnesses. That he completes the whole work of erasing death, even its lasting effects. You may not know it now, and you certainly probably don't feel it now, as your death itself still stares you in the face and tries to scare you. But Christ has your death under his control. That he who blesses with the promise of paradise is also going to bless by the resurrection. Your resurrection on the last day. That the reproach of his people, sin, death, all the accusations, all the criticisms that the devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh could muster against you, it will be shown to be a farce, a nothingness, that Christ will simply speak His word, and He, by speaking it, will speak away this reproach of His people. He will take away the reproach of His people. It will be gone forever. And the result of His speaking will be that His people will stand freely, with no death covering over them, no death shadowing over them, no fear from death, no sadness, no gloom, and then no reproach, no accusation, no criticism hanging over them ever again for all eternity. The result of this, Isaiah cannot hold it back. He speaks of the praises of the church, that always they come in response to God's work first, that God does the work, the church praises in response, that this is our God, our living God. As you hear today of Christ's resurrection from the dead and the promise that He is just the first fruit of the dead and that you have a resurrection coming as well, Christ is your God. You have waited for Him. You wait for Him even now. You wait for the risen Lord, promised, who has promised to return and has gone to prepare a place for you. That this waiting is full of hope because of what has already happened, what has already finished. That Jesus has finished His salvation of you and for you. That this is the good news that rings out this and every week from this pulpit, that even now, in a foreshadowing of what is yet to come, we may rejoice and be glad in His salvation. It means the end is set, and death is definitely not the end. In fact, Christ is the end of death. So be glad and rejoice. The Lord has done this marvelous thing. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Please rise. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.